It's an old song I heard singing about Jesus. It was talking about how God is good. And the song had to go with God is good, devil is bad. It's a good saying to understand that when you think about God. We're going to talk today about faith and some of the foundations of faith and learning who you are and why you have a right to believe and stand for miracles and for good things in your life. But the foundation of faith must always start that God is good, that God loves you, He's for you, and He never sends anything evil. He doesn't use evil to teach you, to train you, to turn you, that God is good. This is the foundation of all faith, the ability to believe. If you don't believe God is good, you run into people, certain circles, that believe that if sickness is on you, it's because God's allowed it. Maybe He didn't will it, but He allowed it. Some believe that God put it on you. Others believe that God's allowed it, that He's leaving it longer for you to learn your lesson. And see, if you don't have a foundation that God is good, that that's impossible, that sickness, disease, destruction, poverty was all defeated by Jesus on the cross. Not defeated, a better word is conquered. Jesus didn't punch the devil in the mouth and karate kick him and take the keys of the kingdom from him. Jesus allowed himself to be sacrificed and gave his blood to purchase our freedom. Jesus became sickness and disease. Every damnable disease on the earth, Jesus took into himself. Every sin, every ugly disease, sickness, Jesus took into himself on the cross. Everything the first man, Adam, introduced to the world with his sin, the second and final Adam conquered with his sacrifice. And so death, sickness, disease, poverty, sin has already been conquered by Jesus. So it's important that for your foundation of faith that you have at the very bottom no question ever about bad things, evil things. That you don't have a question about that. Because if you question, well, maybe it's God's will. Maybe it's not God's time. Maybe there's a reason. If you think there's a reason why you're not healed, it's because you're putting some blame on God. And if you blame God or accuse God, you can't have faith for your healing or your victory because maybe He doesn't want you to have it. So all faith to believe for a miracle, for a healing, for provision, must first start with the fact that Jesus paid the price for it. On the cross, He sacrificed Himself and allowed His blood to be shed to purchase your healing, to purchase our provision, to purchase our deliverance from sin, from emotional bondage. And once that's in your core, in your understanding, once that foundation is your rock that you stand on, then you'll be able to believe God for the miracle that you need, for the change in your life that you need. So understand that all faith must first be built on a foundation that God is good. He's only good. He's only love. He cannot and will not use evil to teach you, to train you, to maneuver you. He cannot do that. There's consequences in this world. There's evil in this world without the devil. There's evil in this world because of sin. There's consequences for decisions and that God has nothing to do that many Christians blame God for a lot of things, and we should be blaming the devil or even looking to our own self for our decision making. So let's begin talking about faith, the foundation of faith. We'll start with one of the core verses that most people know of, Mark chapter 11. We'll start in verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to him, "Have faith in God." Now, there is a translation that says, have the faith of God. I like that as well. Have faith in God. For surely, verse 23, I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, but does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So this is one of our foundational teachings of faith, of confession, of speaking the word of God, that if you believe in your heart and do not doubt, but you speak, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, Brother Norval used to say, Norval Hayes used to say, have you ever heard of anyone having a conversation with the flu? He said, too many Christians are, I believe he said God taught him this, but too many Christians, he said, are having asking God to remove their flu. And God said, I didn't tell them to talk to me about their flu. I told them to speak to the mountain. And he said, Christians need to speak to their problems and use their faith to, and their voice, in their authority, to remove things from their life. And it's really such an idea that I think many Christians struggle with, is we spend too much time in different circles asking God to heal us. God, heal us, please. God, please heal me. And see, when you're approaching God in that manner, it's because there's a little blame on God. God, why haven't you healed me yet? Well, he needs your permission. Well, he has my permission. So it's not permission. He needs faith. He needs authority to move. The price for your victory has already been paid for at the cross. So faith is you expressing a belief that God's word is true no matter what the circumstances. And so you have a conversation with the flu. If you have the flu, it's fighting you. You say, flu, I'm speaking to you. Get out of me. I'm making you move out of my body. And see, that is the authority that God uses. And remember, faith is not the power. Faith is simply describing that you believe God, and then by speaking, you give God the authority to do what he's always wanted to do. There's many people who blame God for so many horrible things. Sickness, disease, poverty, that he's teaching you a lesson. And if you just simply think of your own children, would you put sickness on your child to teach him a lesson? Would you allow your child to starve? Would you allow any of that hurt, sickness, poverty, disease to be on your kid for any reason? Well, a normal parent would say, no, absolutely not. I would go to the ends of the earth to make sure my children are blessed and successful. Well, God's the same. He is your father. He loves you. He does not leave things in your life. If there's no healing, if there's no miracle that you're believing for, it's not because he won't. It's because he can't. We have to get the blame off of God. I think the way some people think of God as their father, if they thought of their, if they treated their kids the same way, they'd probably end up in jail for child abuse. God is only good. He's only love. He's a good father to his children. And so knowing that puts a hope in you that you can believe God for the things, the promises of God. So when it says here, we speak to the mountain, I want to be clear that every faith verse that we use is going to start off with salvation, okay? The point of salvation. So this verse on faith speaking to the mountain, at the root, that mountain is talking about your nature of sin, that you're able to speak to that mountain and remove a nature of sin that was impossible for you to ever get rid of. But by faith in God, you receive the new nature. And so when we read this, for surely I say to you, whoever says, now the word says means you speak it out, to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. I've seen much confusion when it comes to confession, to speaking the word in our Christian circles, where many people, not knowingly but from their heart, think that when they confess, they're actually getting God to move. You're getting God to change. I'm talking God into something. And you don't need to talk God into healing because he wants you healed more than you want to be healed. You don't need to talk God into helping your family get saved because he loves them more than you do. And Jesus has already paid the price for that. You don't need to talk him into helping you prosper because he desires for you to prosper and to be in health. So when we understand that, why am I confessing then? It's because I'm trying to make my belief system line up with the Word of God. See, if I believe something, according to this scripture here, if I believe something and I speak it and do not doubt in my heart, at that very moment, that's the moment I have it. That's the very moment I have what I've been speaking. I don't have to speak it 1,000 times. I don't have to build it. I have to have faith. And if I have faith, if I believe it in my heart and do not doubt in my heart, the very moment I speak it, that's when I have it. I remember with the Bible college students, when the first year ones would come and they'd be excited in a service about faith and the possibilities of a miracle, we would have to save their eyeglasses, because that's usually the first one they would test. I'm going to take my glasses off. And they'd hold their glasses on the altar in the air, and they're about to smash them on the ground and step on them and crush them and to prove to God they have faith. And we would have our ushers tackle them, because we'd end up with broke Bible college students, not able to afford new glasses, driving around, walking around blind, trying to save up money to buy new glasses, trying to prove to God they have faith. You don't have to prove you have faith. If you have faith, the answer is there. I'm not saying that in a bad way, like, see, you just don't have faith. It's more practical. The moment you really believe it to be true and you speak it, it'll happen. It has to. That's the word of God. I talk about Brother Norville, how people would say, well, my grandma, she believed for a miracle, but she died. She's believing for a healing, but she died. And Brother Norville would say, no, that's not true. What's not true? Well, she didn't believe God. And then, and, you know, what we always love about Brother Norwood is he didn't mind offending people. You say, no, that's not true. If she believed God, she would have been healed. I'm not saying she didn't love God or serve God. Some people can believe God for one area and have lack in believing for another area. But he would say, if she believed God, she would have been healed. So what you're saying is impossible when you say grandma believed God but didn't get healed. She didn't believe. Because if you believe it in your heart and do not doubt, the moment you speak it, you will have whatever you say. Now, again, whatever you say must line up with the will of God for your life. You can't look at your neighbor's spouse and say, I'm believing God for my neighbor's spouse. So what we speak and believe must be found in the Word as a promise of God, already purchased by the blood of Jesus. If you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes in those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Now, originally this verse, I believe, is talking about salvation. But we use the same principle whenever we run into a circumstance in our life that doesn't line up with what salvation has given to us. Salvation is really the very life of God in us. It is what purchased for you the right to believe, the right to receive healing, deliverance of sin, overcome the emotional bondage, the salvation of your family. Your provision is all based on what Jesus did. If you don't never lift a pinky to help God, you never give a penny to the kingdom of God, you never share the gospel with anyone, you still have a right as a child of God, because you are born again, to believe God for your provision, not your prosperity. Prosperity, you have to be a faithful steward. But you can believe God for your provision, that your needs will be met as a child of God. You can believe God that you're delivered, you're free already by the new nature. You can believe God for the salvation of your family. You can believe God for all the healing that you need, because that was purchased by the blood of Christ. We don't need to add to it, we just need to receive and believe that the price has been done. Now, the word believe is kind of a tricky word for me, mainly because I've seen many, many multiple people discouraged because they heard a message, they're going through a circumstance. It's easy to preach when you're not going through a circumstance, but when you're going through a circumstance, it's pretty real. I've seen many people go through physical battles and emotional battles and all kinds of battles, come to a church service, get encouraged by the preacher, and then go home and nothing changes. And see, the preacher then gets to go out for dinner with his family and friends. Well, that person goes home with their battle and gets discouraged because I thought I did what was necessary in the service to receive my miracle. And we have multiple people, Christians, all around the world, discouraged in their relationship with God because they have a misunderstanding of believing. They have a misunderstanding. And that's where we get the philosophy and idea of, well, maybe it is God's will, because I prayed and he didn't heal me. That preacher prayed for me, he didn't heal me. That other person got healed, I didn't. The other person got free, I didn't. The other person got blessed, I didn't. So maybe this is just my lot in life. This is my cross to bear. And so you can see how different philosophies rise up out of discouragement. So I want to be careful when I use the word belief, because when we say the word believe, it implies that you just have to put an effort to believe. Just believe. And I've had physical battles. I'm in one right now, a physical battle in my physical body. And I've had many well-meaning Christians come and pray for me. And I don't mind that at all. I appreciate it. But there's been a few that come kind of in an, I'd say, an arrogant way. And they pray for me and they say, now just receive it. You have it. Walk it out. Believe it. Just believe it, brother. I always say thank you, but not so much. If you're being a preacher, I'm not so nice to you as much as I am to kind of the sheep. But it's been a few times people have handled me in a way with my physical battle that have made me think, if I was a baby, now, I'm not a baby Christian. I'm a seasoned, thick-skinned preacher, been around the block, been in some preaching battles kind of thing. And so I don't get too touchy, because I know God and I love God. It's hard to shake me that way. But when they would pray for me, I think, man, if I was a baby Christian going through a problem and that person treated me the way that they just treated me, I would really be discouraged in my faith. I'd really be, I'd leave feeling like I'm just a failure, that I'm just a loser, it's never going to happen. When we talked about receiving a miracle, do you understand that someone needs a miracle in their life? They're desperate. They live with that every single day. Whether it be poverty, sickness, disease, family struggles, emotional struggles, we need to be gentle and encouraging. But more important, we need to be teaching them how to build their faith the right way, how to build their belief into believing like Christ, believing that Christ has paid the price. See, it's not an effort. You can't force believing. Believing must be taught. It must have a foundation. Why do you believe something, and why don't you believe something, even though you want to? I want to believe God. I want to believe for my healing. I want to believe for my deliverance. I want to believe for my finances. See, everyone wants to believe, and they make an effort. Just believe. And I use my birth dad as an example. Frank Robidoux was my birth dad. I was born Alan Robidoux. My stepdad is Ken Taylor, who's my dad. But Frank Robidoux was born with no fingers on his left hand. That was his deformity when he was born. Now, if he came into the church and said, hey, preacher, can God give me new fingers? And if the preacher said, yes, sir, he can. I read in the Word that the maimed were made whole. So, brother, you can believe according to the Word that God can give you new fingers. Just believe and receive what God has done for you. So, that was my dad's story, he could go home. And let's say he came back in 2 weeks and said, preacher, I've been believing with all my might. I believe. And my fingers haven't grown any at all. There's still no fingers on my left hand. Now, my dad was a boxer, a successful businessman. He passed away very young. He didn't let that left hand situation hold him back. But if he came back and said, I've been believing for 2 weeks and I don't see any change, what am I doing wrong? Now, see, a bad preacher would say, or imply, well, see, look here, Mr. Robidoux. Look at my left hand. Look at my right hand. All my fingers. I have all 10 fingers. And see, if you just believe like I do, then you can have what I have. And see, that we laugh at that and think, well, that's ridiculous. You weren't born with no fingers and grew those fingers out. You know, so how can you compare? But that's somewhat how many people treat faith and treat people with struggles. Well, if you just do what I did, you'll have what I have. No, the right answer would be, Mr. Robidoux, I've never been in a fight like you're in to have to believe God for new fingers out of nothing. I've heard stories that it's been done. I read the Word, so I know it's truth, that Jesus can make the maim whole. But for your fingers to grow, you're going to have to go to a place, a believer in that area that I've never been to. So all I can do is encourage you, the Word is true, and give you some principles on how to build your faith, how to grow your belief. See, belief is not forced, it's grown. It must come forward. Belief must come forward from our time with God. How do I believe God? In my view, the best way to believe God for the impossible is to spend time with Him, to learn His character, to learn that He cannot lie, that He is a Father of truth and nothing else but truth. There is no lie in Him. There's no exaggeration in Him. There's no false promises in Him. To build faith, how do I build that faith? Let's look over in Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. See, no matter what your physical battle is or your emotional battle, your financial battle, your family battle, your sin battle is, you have faith because you're born again. So you know it's possible to believe because your whole expectation of salvation is based on your belief in God. You don't expect to go to heaven for God to say, yeah, you know all the words I wrote, I was just pretending. I gotcha. You're going to end up in hell. I was just kidding. Too bad. No, none of us expect that to happen because we know the Word of God is true. And the Word of God, when we settle the truth of the Word of God as being true in our heart, it forces us to change because it cannot change. It forces us to change to it. I had a friend who I went to go visit his house and he was gone, but his horse was outside of his house tied up to a pole with a saddle on. And I couldn't find my friend anywhere. He wasn't on his farm or anywhere. And I called him. I said, hey, I'm here and you're not here. Yeah, I had to leave. Okay, but your horse is tied to a pole here. And did you forget it? Do you want me to do something to it? Can I move it? And he said, no, I'm leaving it there for a little bit. I'm trying to train it because it keeps fighting everyone. Anyone who sits on that saddle, he tries to buck him off. And so what I've done is I've tied him to a pole for him to learn that the pole, no matter how hard he fights, he's not going to win. That pole is training him to give in to his will up. And I always remember that. Like, wow, he was teaching that horse, you might as well give up. Well, that's kind of how God is with you. That He tied you and I to a pole. That pole is called love. He attached us to the pole. And the job of that pole called love, His love, is to teach us that God is true. That He loves you. And the moment we really believe that and know that, that's the beginning of building our faith. God loves me. He's for me. Pastor Dave say, when you confess the Word of God, you're not moving God because He's not the one stuck. You and I, in our belief, are stuck. And how do I change that? How do I cause my circumstances to bow down to the Word of God? Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read here verse 8 and 9 and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So the very faith that you received for your salvation, it wasn't that you believed. It was that you received faith as a gift of God that allowed you to believe. Without that gift of God, you wouldn't have the faith to believe for your salvation. So that gives us a clue that faith is built in humility, not in pride. Faith is built in God's ability, not your ability. Faith is built in your humility to receive from God, not in your ability to build something for God. And he goes on to tell us that, verse 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Many believers believe that they are the originator of faith, that they're believing God. You'll hear in testimonies, in many of our testimonies, it's very subtly prideful. You know, I did this and God did that. I did this, I gave this, I did this, and God did that. And here is given an idea that no, you are his workmanship, that you've allowed him to work and build you. And that is the same principle of faith, that faith that you're after in your circumstance. And know that it's a real honest statement that if you are believing for something and it doesn't come to pass, it's not God's fault. When you know it's the will of God and you're believing for something and it doesn't come to pass, it's not God's fault. He's not withholding it. It's that you don't believe. And that is a very true statement and an important statement to understand, because that helps you to locate where the struggle is that you must tackle. Where is the place that I must focus my time and my effort so that I can tackle it? See, when I hit a circumstance in my life and I can't fix it and I'm stuck, there's things you can't fix. And that's why many Christians are successful, because they've just fixed it. But when you hit an impossible situation in health, in deliverance, or in believing for your family, you need faith. You need God to move, or it's not going to change. That's the impossible situation. Then faith in God is your only answer. You can't go fix it yourself. You must have God come. But where is he? Why doesn't he come? I know he wants to do it, but why can't he do it? Well, the answer is, and the target is, because you and I don't believe. Okay, I'm glad. Thank you for telling me that. Now what do I do? Well, now that you have accepted that, and I've accepted that, that the area that's causing God not to be able to, or that's not allowing me to receive what God's already paid for, is my believing, especially in that area. Like I said, many people can believe for salvation, or they can believe for finances. I know people who never have a problem with finances. They just have an ability to believe God, but they have a problem with healing. Or vice versa. I know many people who've gone through all kinds of sicknesses, and they just have a faith in God, and they walk through it easily. Well, when you hit a situation, or I hit a situation, you find out my lack of belief in this area has been exposed by this circumstance. My lack of belief in this area has been exposed by my battle, because obviously it's obvious to me, it's obvious to everyone around me that I need a miracle in this area. So that lack of believing in that area, and we're specifically talking about the promises of God, we're talking about healing over sickness and disease, we're talking about deliverance from sin, we're talking about believing God for your family, for their salvation, we're talking about poverty. That these areas are promises of God that allow us to receive by faith the victory that he's already given to us. I'm over in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The King James Version says that I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's important to understand that the faith that you need for any area does not originate in your own ability. It must be built by God in us. That's the workmanship of God. Over in Ephesians, I'll read it again just to make sure we're getting it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're created for good works, not by good works. We are His workmanship. He's working in us. And so faith, to build our faith, to cause our faith to grow. I don't want you to be left in discouragement. I've been speaking, confessing, I've been believing God for an area for many years, and nothing's changed. I'm just a loser. I'm just not able to believe. And when certain guys came and prayed for me for my healing, physical healing, they had prayed for me, and I know they expected and wanted something to happen. I did too. But nothing changed in that moment. And what did they do? They blamed me. Listen, church, stop blaming people. If you go pray for someone, you better have the goods. You better have the goods. If God sent you to pray for someone, He sent you there for them to get healed. Let me just preach for a minute to the church here. Anytime the disciples didn't see healing, they got rebuked. Jesus did not send them to pray for people. He sent them to heal people. Jesus sent them with His authority. Let's look over in Luke, since I'm on this. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 9:1, the famous verses. Then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So the reason it says He gave them power and authority was because He lent His authority to them. And that's what they went out about, healing the sick and casting out devils. So the practice that we have in the church world today is really unfair to the broken people. Let me just pick on this for a little bit, because if you're broken because you're going through a difficult time, or if someone you know is broken, they're having difficulty in their life. It could be physical, financial, emotional, family, any of the areas we talked about. But they're broken. People are broken and discouraged. You know, I believe I know God fairly well, but there's people who may not know God that enough to have hope in Him when hard times happen. They may be thinking, well, maybe I did something wrong. I know that my grandma, when my dad was born with no fingers on his left hand, I'll guarantee she felt some kind of guilt because her religious upbringing was kind of, you know, you did something wrong, God's mad at you. So in her mind was this idea that maybe I did something wrong, God's not happy with me, God's punishing me by maiming my son. Or some ladies can think, well, I shouldn't have ate that chocolate ice cream. I knew it was going to ruin my child. Or I shouldn't have drank that soda pop. Or, you know, they think things like that, that that's what caused problems with my baby. And when my dad was born, what if my grandma was walking through the mall with my dad as a baby? And here's her little baby with no fingers on his left hand. And some Christian walked up to her and said, ma'am, I want you to know that Jesus wants to heal your baby. Can I pray for your baby? Well, yes. Oh, praise God. I'm believing God's going to put fingers on that baby right now. Right now, God's going to put fingers on that baby. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for healing this baby, and I speak fingers, come forth. And they all looked at the hand, and nothing happened. So they got a little more loud in the mall just to show they had faith, authority, boldness. And they said, fingers, come forward in Jesus' name. And after 20 minutes, if that happened, this is a scenario, but it happens every day around our country, people, good, mean, well-meaning Christians who've been taught wrong are out just praying for people. So if they prayed 20 minutes and left with that baby with no fingers, still no fingers, which is a significant miracle. The maim made whole is much more significant than a bad knee feeling no more pain or back feeling better. And they left and went about and shared how they got to testify or share, you know, pray for someone. But that lady, my grandma, would have gone home with her baby with still no fingers on her hand. And what would she think? Everything I thought about God hating me, about God punishing me, God not liking me is true. That's what she would have thought, because that well-meaning Christian did more harm than good. See, we should only pray for people for healing if God tells us to. We don't need to break them more by leaving them without the fruit, because if God tells you to, maybe you'll miss it, but if God tells you to, you'll know that there's something He can do. Otherwise, He wouldn't tell you to do it. I'm not against you encouraging someone and sharing the love of God and the truth of God, saying, ma'am, I've never prayed for someone with healing, but I want you to know the Word of God says that if you believe God and will work on your belief, that you can have this. Or see, this is why we're after a revival. We're supposed to be walking around like Jesus, where all the people who come to us, whether maimed or sick, every single one of them was healed when Jesus prayed for them. But the church has lowered the bar and settled for just praying for people and thinking that's good enough. No, if you pray for someone and it doesn't happen, you've done more harm than good. Now you can encourage them, you can share the love and the truth of God with them. That's awesome. That's excellent. But always be careful when you just slap around prayer of faith. Prayer of faith is not, I'm just going to say something and we're going to hope it's happened. Prayer of faith is, there's enough faith here for God to have the authority to bring an answer. That's my rant. I'll stop ranting now. Over here in Luke 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. And He said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord the harvest and send out laborers into the harvest. God is wanting to send us forward to see the sick healed. But if you're going to be a minister and take that place in someone's life by saying, I guess my rant's not over. I see a lot of Christians, they're looking for a target. They look for someone who's broken, broken physically, emotionally, mentally, marriage-wise, they're broken, family-wise, they're broken. And they see that as an opportunity to go and practice ministering. You know, it's easier to minister to someone who's more broke than you are, broken than you are. But we're supposed to be led by the Spirit before we just go and minister. We don't just target broken people and say, oh, you're broken, let me become your teacher. It's very important that we encourage people to never give up on God, and we always paint God in a picture of truth, that He's love and He's good. There's many, many broken people out there who need to know that if they can't find a minister who can represent Jesus like Jesus would, there's still hope for them if they build their faith, if they allow their faith to grow. And my point today is to say, where does faith grow? Faith and belief grows, not by force, not by effort. I'm just believing. I'm trying. I want it to happen. No, faith grows by knowledge, by truth. See, the reason we don't believe is because we don't know Him in that area. We don't know Him well enough as a healer. That's very honest. You know, I'm saying it because I myself have been exposed in the area of healing in my life, where it exposed a lack of believing that I never knew was there. I had no idea that I didn't have that belief. I didn't have the health issues, so I thought I was believing God, but I was just young without health issues. But when I was hit with a health problem, I have to accept, okay, it's not God holding back His healing. God is good. God's already healed me. I have to receive it. So how do I receive it? Well, the encouragement for me is to say, Alan, don't give up. The Word of God is true. Alan, keep standing on the Word of God. Don't give up. Everything else is a lie but the Word of God. This is why confession is so important. Because every time you speak the Word, when you speak the Word and the miracle doesn't happen, then that is what I call confession. Confession is not meant to be like a BB gun, a little tiny pellet trying to hit a tank. Tink, 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 tink. And you're shooting that tank with your BB gun by confessing the word. Tink, tink, I'm speaking to my mountain of sickness. Bing, bing, bing. That's not confession. Confession is not trying to destroy a problem with a bunch of words. Confession is powerful because it's you confirming to yourself, to your own belief system, that what's in you that believes opposite of God is a lie. It's a lie about God. It's not true. So I won't accept it. I'm only going to accept the Word of God. When I confess, I'm working on my believing. I'm not working on getting God to move or the mountain to move. I'm working on my believing, because the moment I believe something to be true and I speak it, then it will happen. That's the truth. That's the Word of God. That's why I love when Brother Norville said, I'm sorry, but your grandma didn't believe God when she died to that sickness. No, but she believed God and she still passed. No, no, that's impossible. What you're saying is the Word of God is not true then. Because the Word of God says if you believe it in your heart and do not doubt and speak it with your mouth, you'll have whatever you say. So what I told the Bible college students with the glasses, they'd hold them up and we'd tackle them and save the glasses and say, now, that's not how you believe God for your miracle. Well, I'm going to prove I have faith. No, no, that's not how you prove you have faith. The proof of believing is you have it. The proof that you believe it totally in your heart that God is true is you have your miracle. Now, you stand on the truth until you believe. So I'd say, now listen, wear your glasses and begin to confess the Word of God. Begin to pray in tongues. Begin to worship and get to know Him better. And one day you'll be walking through the mall, and all of a sudden everything will get blurry, and you wonder what happened. What happened? Everything's blurry. I can't see until you take your glasses off, because you received your miracle. See, you believe and you speak, you'll have whatever you say if you do not doubt in your heart. So the problem isn't in speaking. And what does speaking do? It is the word you speak is the vehicle that carries your belief, the authority for God to heal you. So when we continue to confess, I'm not trying to hit my problem with a BB gun, trying to move a tank. No, I'm able to speak to a mountain. God's the one who has to move the mountain. You're the one to provide the authority. And when we have an area of circumstances that doesn't line up with the Word of God in your life, it's because there's not enough authority or belief built in you. So how do I build it? We confess the Word, and we continue to confess the Word, and we never give up on the Word of God as being truth. The Word of God says you've been healed. The Word of God said that poverty has been destroyed. The Word of God says your family can be saved. The family is a little bit different because you're dealing with personalities, but you don't have to give up on any lost child, any lost friend, family. You can believe them in to the kingdom. Just keep praying there, speaking their name out. The sickness, disease, poverty, emotional battles, struggles with sin, these are all overcome by the blood of Jesus already. It's been purchased already. So when we confess the Word of God, we're saying, I know it's not in me yet because I don't have it, but I refuse to let go of God's Word as being true. That's standing on the Word of God. That's what it means to stand on the Word of God, that you're refusing to accept any other answer but the Word of God. I've seen people misguidedly throw away their medicine, trying to prove they have faith. I've seen people misguidedly give money into an offering, trying to prove they have faith for provision. I've seen people who need to go buy groceries put that money in the offering, wanting God to give them more money. And the truth is, if we just work on our believing, see, I know the answer. I know the target in my current situation. My current situation is not that God isn't healed me. It's not that I can change anything physically. In the natural, I can't get an answer in the natural. I need a miracle of God. Well, how do I get it then? My target is my believing. I have to cause my believing in the area of healing to grow to the point that I have no doubt that Jesus is my healer, that I have no doubt. if you're on medicine and the doctor has you on medicine, I know some people on medicine, it's the medicine that's keeping them around. Thank God for the medicine that's keeping you around. Thank God for the medicine that's keeping you alive. Stay on it. Keep on it until all of a sudden, keep confessing the word. Keep praying. Keep seeking God. Keep standing. Don't stop. And what will happen one day is that medicine will cause a problem to your body. And the doctor will say, oh, you need to get rid of it. And I know some people that God spoke to them specifically to throw away their medicine. And, you know, praise God for that. But I know many people who try to prove to God they have faith, thrown away their medicine. And I know a few people who passed away soon after because they were desperate for a healing, I understand. And they thought, if I can just prove to God I have faith by boldness, then I'll have it. If you believe it, if you really believe in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth, you will have it. So the target of our circumstances is our unbelief. How do I get rid of it? We pray in tongues. We worship. We confess the word of God. We never say anything but the truth about our life. Brother Gary Carpenter said one time, truth changes facts. I love it. You may have the facts that I need this medicine or I need these glasses or this is my life right now. That may be the facts, but it's not the truth. The truth is the word of God. So let's keep building the truth in us. Let's keep confessing. Let's keep praying. This kind of belief, if you're dealing with something that's impossible, praise God. What an opportunity for you to grow in God to a depth that you may never have had to before. Thank God that you can trust God and you don't have to just roll over and give up and say, well, this is life. This is how it is. You and I can believe God for our miracle, for the Word of God, through the Word of God, for the truth that He's done in us. God loves you. He is good. God is good. He loves you. He's for you. In the same way He gave you the faith to believe for your salvation, that's our source to gain the faith to believe for our miracle from Him. Not through your own effort, not through your own ability, from Him. I love you. Thank you for spending time with me. God bless you.